This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And when the band plays, hail to the chief.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Gosh, we still have so much stuff. This hour, we're going to get to Medal of Honor and then history. We have a great Sky is Green story. I'm going to try to talk about the diamond heist. You know, that's going to be all kinds of fun, Chris. We'll get to emails. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. But right now, as we do every single Monday on this time, we are going to do Medal of Honor Monday for you new listeners. It's not complicated. It's certainly nothing special I do. Everyone who's ever earned the Medal of Honor, he had a citation written up. They do a write-up of what he did. And they're awesome. They're all free. They're all available online. You're a click away from reading anyone you want. There's nothing special about me doing it. I very much encourage you to steal this and do it with your children. Read it to your Sunday school, your school. Maybe you're a school teacher in a public school. You can still do it. We're not talking politics here. Take a citation of an American hero and read it. Kids today, lots of them. I'm not doing the kids today thing. Kids today have so much crap poured into their eyes and ears because our culture is rotted filth now. And we forget that we have to hold up other things for them to aspire to be. If we don't give them alternatives, then they want to be like the YouTube star who gets extra rings in his nose every other week or something. They're going to admire somebody. They're going to look up and try to emulate somebody. You better give them the right thing to emulate. So we got this email. Remember, I take email suggestions on this. Always have, always will. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Dear fellow Cobra Gold Marine. Cobra Gold, in case you're wondering, it's the jungle warfare training you do in the Marines. And yes, I had the pleasure. First, I wanted to let you know that your gas station clerk and kids coach are probably working together and you aren't crazy. Maybe it's time to move. Second, in regards to Medal of Honor Monday, I'd like to suggest reading Gunny John Bazelon's citation. He earned his Medal of Honor today, 24th of October, 1942, on Guadalcanal. His story is always motivation for me to keep going and never be out of the fight. I hope you consider this citation today. Thank you, Devil Dog. Semper Fi. Semper Fi, Joe. And without further ado, I've read this one before. I always will. Bazalone is a New Jersey native. They still honor him every year in his hometown. Just, man, you want to talk about the best of us.
Ready? Aim.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For extraordinary heroism and conspicuous gallantry in action against enemy Japanese forces above and beyond the call of duty while serving with 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, 1st Marine Division in the Lunga area, Guadalcanal, Solomon Islands on the 24th and 25th of October 1942. While the enemy was hammering at Marine defensive positions, Sergeant Bazalone, in charge of two sections of heavy machine guns, fought valiantly to check the savage and determined assault. In a fierce frontal attack with the Japanese blasting his guns with grenades and mortar fire, one of Sergeant Bazalone's sections, with its gun crew, was put out of action, leaving only two men able to carry on. Moving an extra gun into position, he placed it in action, then, under continual fire, repaired another and personally manned it, gallantly holding his line until replacements arrived. A little later, with ammunition critically low and supply lines cut off, Sergeant Bazalone, at great risk of his life in the face of continued enemy attack, battled his way through hostile lines with urgently needed shells for his gunners, thereby contributing in large measure to the virtual annihilation of a Japanese regiment. His great personal valor and courageous initiative were in keeping with the highest traditions of U.S. Naval service. And I am going to do, we're going to do a little detour here, because I had a plan, okay? I had a plan to tell you a history story right after this. And maybe you'll take this as good news. Maybe you're bashing your head off the radio in the car, but I figured in light of this story, I should give you two history stories. One of them very much applies to something that's happening today. The other one applies to this. So let's get with John Bazalone first, because I need to explain a couple things. I always try to keep in mind people have different life experiences, and a lot of these terms that are used sometimes, especially when it comes to military stuff, can zip right past people. Don't feel stupid. You may just not know. It ain't no big deal. I hate talking over people. It drives me crazy. So let's deal with a couple of things. First, 1st Battalion, 7th Marines. That was my unit. 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, Alpha Company, Weapons Platoon, baby, Semper Fi. All right, but I wasn't quite the Marine John Bazalone was, but I do want to address a couple of things. Two sections of heavy machine guns. Everyone who's been in the infantry is going to roll their eyes at this, but understand something. I just mentioned I was in 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, Alpha Company. All right, now here, what's that mean? Alpha Company Weapons Platoon. Okay, so you have the battalion, and within the battalion, your battalion is made up of companies, various companies. And an Alpha Company would be made up of this. Three regular infantry platoons. Those are the guys you watch in the movies all the time. Normal infantrymen. Three regular infantry platoons. And then a weapons platoon, or make it easier to understand, heavy weapons platoon. Heavy weapons, almost all, at least today, it includes assault men. They do explosives. And if you have anti-tank rockets, I'll just put it to you that way, they would be in charge of that. If you need to put charges on doors, those are your assault men. There are mortar men. That was me. The mortar tubes you see around in the movies, that was me. You hump around mortar tubes and you drop mortar shells and you shoot and stuff like that too. You always have a rifle, but there are mortar men. And then there's another part, machine guns, heavy guns. There are weapons that are heavy enough that it takes a crew, oftentimes two, maybe three-man crew, to operate it. Now, why would you need two or three-man crew to operate one of these heavy guns that Bazalone was working? Well, oftentimes you need an extra barrel because barrels will overheat. I've seen barrels at night shoot so hot before They're glowing so red, you can actually see the round going down the barrel, see through it. I've seen this in action before. It's crazy. So barrels will get hot. They'll carry around an extra barrel and ammunition. This is one of the least sexy parts of combat because we want to picture combat as being like in Rambo in the movies. Rambo never had to reload, right? He never had to reload. I just get on a machine gun and I aim it at all the bad guys. And all I do is hold the trigger and I go like Rambo did and everyone dies. In real life, the barrel overheats and must be swapped out or cooled in some way. And ammunition, lots of times it's pretty scarce because it's so heavy. That's why it's scarce. I want you to understand why it's scarce. Ammo is heavy. If I'm in the infantry and I'm going out to combat, I already have my weapon. I probably have, when you consider the ammo I'm already carrying for my weapon and everything else, I bet you I have 70, 80 pounds worth of gear on. Now, let's take away the pack. Let's say I'm, quote, traveling light. I still have 40, 50 pounds between a flak jacket and everything else. And I'm only human. Now, what if I add a heavy machine gun to that? That thing is going to churn through ammo. It's going to churn through it fast. And I have to carry it. Someone has to carry it. It doesn't magically appear there. Someone has to lug the stuff around. Ammo is heavy. Which brings us to John Bazelon doing two things that make this whole thing, well, two things that really make this Medal of Honor citation stand out. We'll cover those in a moment. And then we are going to have a talk about America's diesel supply. And I have a little mini history story I'm going to tell you about that in just a moment. But before I get to those things, I want to remind you, you can email me your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. All are welcome. Email them all to jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'm going to get to those emails, too. We just have a bunch of stuff to get to. I'll get to them, all right? Hang on.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
Werewolves of London again.
Secondly, if you don't have one of those loans, you just get $10,000 written off. It's passed. I got it passed by a vote or two.
That's Joe Biden discussing student loan debt relief, something that never was even discussed in the House of Representatives or the Senate. Certainly a bill was not brought forward. There were never any votes, but Joe Biden got it passed. It was down to the last vote. Good work, Joe. Killing it out there. All right. We're going to talk about our diesel supply as it relates to history and stuff like that in a second, but I wanted to finish up this history thing about Bazelon. I mentioned ammo's heavy and you need more of it. So not only was he fixing a dysfunctional gun while the Japanese were coming in waves, they did a gigantic bonsai charge. It was actually one of the really stupid things the Japanese ever did. When we landed on Guadalcanal, the Marines landed. The Japanese did this huge charge where they just kept charging at the Marines that are dug in. You don't charge at Marines that are dug in. We just absolutely massacred them. We killed so many of them, they kept having to run out and push over the stacks of dead bodies so they could kill more of them. But the Japanese were doing this. This was early in the war. They had not lost this war yet, and this was not a bunch of losers. This was one of their elite battalions. One of their elite battalions, they threw away all of them like they were just nothing. Just tossed them out earlier in the war. It's crazy. Anyway, but knowing that, it's at night. Bazelon, while under fire, is fixing a weapon, but then you run out of ammunition. That big heavy machine gun doesn't do any good with no ammo. It's worth nothing. Believe me, that's going to come into play in a second. So he has to go back. He has to go back to find ammunition. If I put you, no matter who you are, man, woman, child, if I was to take you right now to Guadalcanal, we teleported over there. It's too long of a flight. We teleported to Guadalcanal, and it was midnight right now, and it was foggy, and I was to put you in the jungle of Guadalcanal and then walk away and leave you there, maybe you would soil your drawers with fear. Maybe you would not, depending on your experience in the wild and the wilderness and age and things like that. But I guarantee you one thing. No matter who you are, you would have moments of unease. Believe me when I tell you. That's just the way it is. Look, the dark does that anyway. There's one thing to be in the dark. It's another thing to be in the dark in the jungle. It's another thing to be in the dark in the jungle when you have every reason to be very afraid of the dark. When you're surrounded by people who will torture you to death if they get their hands on you in horrible, horrible ways, there's a reason to be afraid of the dark. John Bazelon, by himself, went and waded through the Japanese in the fog, killing some by hand to grab ammunition and go back by himself in the dark to return that ammunition to his platoon. That is so stupid, over the top brave. That being said, last thing I want to say on this, because we have to get to America's oil supply, and I have a history story I want to tell you about that, real brief one here. But Bazelon, in case you don't know, he then went back home. They made him, as a Medal of Honor winner, earner, should say, they made him do a big tour where he was raising money, and he hated it. He didn't want to be there. He wanted to be in combat. He was just one of those true warriors. And he eventually volunteers to go back so he can help guys, so he can train guys, so he can lead them in combat. And he led them in combat on Iwo Jima, and that's where he died, on Iwo Jima. And there are two different ways of looking at this. I leave it up to his family to decide, but I hate that. I hate that we lost him there. On one level, I hate that we lost him there. On another, maybe that's what he would have wanted. You know, you never know what he would have wanted. I didn't know him. I can't speak for the guy. It's not a bad way for a warrior to go out, right, on the sands of Iwo Jima. That's actually the John Wayne movie. You ever seen the John Wayne movie, Sands of Iwo Jima? The guy John Wayne plays? That's John Bazelon. That's who he is. So maybe that's how he would have wanted to go. But I don't know. I hate seeing warriors go out. A guy like that, the best of us, man, that guy should be 90. That guy should be 90 out there bouncing his grandkids on his lap, telling him, hey, son, come here. I'll tell you about that time I cut off a Japanese soldier's head. It was great. All right. Now, diesel. Uh-oh. We're going to do a history story combined with a story from today to try to give us a little bit of perspective. And, man, that is not good. Before I give you this history story, let's just do something real quick here. Remember, we are a little bit more than 2 weeks away from Election Day. It's Monday. We get to vote in this country every 2 years. Every 2 years we get to vote. But that's not good enough, is it? If you're fighting a culture war against these demons, you have to do more. You want to do more. But Jesse, what am I supposed to do? Vote more often? Yes, you're supposed to vote more often. Not on Election Day. With your money. Now that America's corporations have chosen a side and it ain't yours, you have to vote with your money. You can either choose to vote against them by abstaining from purchasing these products from these companies that hate us, or you can choose to vote for them. Every single month you send money to Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, you're voting every day. You're voting specifically against your values. You're funding everything you hate. Takes less than 10 minutes to switch to Pure Talk, and then you can fund a company that loves you. They'll never spit in your face. They'll never embarrass you. You'll never turn on a TV commercial and see a Pure Talk commercial that you have to cover your child's eyes for. Ever. It'll never happen. Oh, and did I mention your bill? My bill got cut in half for a family of four. Cut in half. Average family saves $1,000 a year, a little under $1,000 a year. From your cell phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an additional 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly, switch to Pure Talk. It takes less than 10 minutes. All right. Now I want you to do something for me. We're going to do a little history combined with the story of today. I love doing that. I want you to take a minute. You got an extra minute here before we start in on it. I want you to take a minute, and I want you to look around you. And I want you to look at all the individual things around you that maybe you look over. You probably do. Like I'm looking right now in the studio. What do we have? We have a couple cans of cheese balls. There's a hat here. There's, of course, my gun. There's cameras everywhere because I'm a super important celebrity. There's all these papers, desks. Oh, yep, that's a good one, Chris. There's a pen. There's pens. There's wires. You have things around you that you look over every day. I want you to look at them right now, though. And before we go into it, I want you to think about something real quick. Just think about this. How did those get to me? Hang on.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yes, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. It has been a sweet show, if I say so myself, Chris. Not that I would ever compliment myself, but it's been a blast. If you missed any part of it, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Now, back to that question I asked you before we went into the break. How much of the stuff around you, how did it get to you? Look around you. In your living room, in your car, in your office, wherever you're listening to me, the gym. How did your stuff get to you? You know what? Maybe that's too broad. Let's make this easier. When's the last time you walked in the grocery store or a gas station? The greatest place in the world, the gas station. When's the last time you walked in a gas station? All those things on the shelves. How'd they get there? You know how they all got there? Every one of them? A truck. A diesel truck drove them there. Now, before I get to this story today of our diesel supply, I'll tell you another little history story. You want another little one? I'm doing some reading right now. You know I'm currently obsessed. I've been obsessed for a year now or more. I'm obsessed with the Pacific portion of World War II. I just find it to be such a massive, ugly, just it's an amazing portion of that conflict for sure. And right now I'm reading a book on Manila and us taking back the Philippines. And I realize that's honestly, it's speaking over everyone's head, just putting it that way. Just know Japanese did Pearl Harbor. Then they took over a whole bunch of things right after Pearl Harbor. And that Pearl Harbor was not a one-off. They spent the next 48, 72 hours taking over various things across the Pacific. We had a major military installation in the Philippines as we were rebuilding the Philippines because we'd conquered it and we're making it right. And we were friends at this point in time. It was part of what the Japanese wanted. They took us out, they took it over, took the Philippines from us. And then the war went on. Well, that was early on when the Japanese were kicking us around. A few years later, 1945 rolls around and the Japanese are not kicking us around anymore. We are marching back towards the Philippines, and that's what I'm digging in right now, the retaking of Manila and fighting the Japanese there and things like that. But one thing, one part of the book is just, it jumped right off the page at me when I was thinking about where we were today. It was a little thing about the book everyone else read through, but for me, I thought, oh gosh, that's terrible. I want you to picture a battleship. Got a battleship in your head? Everyone knows what a battleship looks like, at least roughly. You can picture it. Big, cool ships, big guns and things like that. Do you know what the Japanese battleships were doing by 1945? Because they had modern, great battleships. Remember this. The Japanese had a modern Air Force, if that's what you're going to call it back then. Modern planes, modern ships, modern military. They were ready to go. By the end of the war, though, you want to know what those battleships were doing? They were parked, and they were used as simply anti-aircraft guns. But why? I don't understand. How is it humanly possible? How is it that our Navy, at the end of the war, is routinely sweeping the Japanese Navy off the high seas, just massacring them? Do you understand early on in the war how many naval losses we had to the Japanese? We don't think about this because we only think about America being invincible, but I'm not even talking about Pearl Harbor. You know, there are places in the South Pacific, our troops named Iron Bottom Sound because our resupply ships and our naval ships kept getting smacked around by the Japanese Navy and sunk, especially at night. We weren't very good at night, and the Japanese Navy was just on point sinking it. So why at the end of the war, why are these wonderful Japanese battleships just sitting there doing anti-aircraft duty? It's just a big floating piece of steel with guns on it. Why? Well, they didn't have any fuel left. You think about, we're not even going to do military. We're going to set that aside for a moment. You and I, we've only ever known full shelves at the grocery store. That's all you have ever known in your lifetime. No matter how old you are, every grocery store you've ever walked into has had stocked shelves. Now, this item or that item may be sold out temporarily. Remember when everyone bought toilet paper for COVID? That's kind of weird. But anyway, you've only ever known stocked shelves. And when you see a picture or read an article or a video or something like that, and you find out that there's this country somewhere in Southeast Asia. Oh, my goodness, honey, look at this video. It's so sad. The shelves are empty. And you speak about it, and I speak about it in this way that it's some far-off land and all those poor people. Oh, I couldn't imagine. Headline, U.S. has only 25 days of diesel supply left. 25 days. Did I say 25 years? 25 months? 25 weeks? You're less than a month away from being out of diesel fuel. Less than a month away. That those empty shelves. Oh, honey, those poor people in Congo. I can't believe it. Coming soon to a grocery store near you. I know you think it's America and it can never happen. It won't ever happen here. It's the Japanese Navy. Look how mighty we are. These huge battleships. It's wonderful. You know what those battleships are worth without fuel? Nothing. You know what America, this robust economy, and we have so much wealth and such a diverse economy. And look at the natural resources, and we have the benefit of late-stage capitalism, and America is so good. You know what all that means without diesel fuel? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Well, actually, I take that back. The groceries will still be there. The meats, the cheeses, the breads, the toilet paper, the shampoo, the toothpaste, the frozen pizzas. All those things will still be available. They just won't be available to you. You see, another thing about what I'm reading about right now, there was this university in Manila where the Japanese, they stashed all the, well, not all Americans, about 70% Americans. There were some British and Dutch in there, but they put a bunch of civilian prisoners of war in this little university in Manila in the Philippines. And by the end, as the Japanese started to lose and more, they started cutting off food to the area, and they started starving to death. Lots of them starving to death. You can still see pictures of it today if you want to go look it up. It's not pleasant sights. You've seen the Holocaust pictures before of the emaciated bodies. You'll see American civilians like that in this university in Manila. And not everyone starved. You see, the uber wealthy people, there were uber wealthy people in there. Most of them did just fine because uber wealthy will always find a way to get access to food. They would sit and they would eat pork chops while their neighbors all around them would starve. Oh, the frozen pizzas and meats and cheeses and all the wonderful things, they'll still be available for the uber rich, the super millionaires and billionaires. They just won't be there for you. Elections have consequences. Maybe you're sitting there saying to yourself, man, it sure would be nice if the overseas oil-producing nations would help us out. Headline, Crown Prince, this is from Zero Hedge, Crown Prince mocks Biden as mentally challenged amid crashing U.S.-Saudi relationship. Not only are they not coming to help, they've already announced they're going to make even less oil than before. And they're mocking our president as being a special needs patient. What they said. Hope you're stocked up. Been warning you for a while to be stocked up. All right. Let's talk about the sky is green and diamond heists next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
She's giving me the excitation. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Speaking of that university in the Philippines where Americans were starving to death, and Brits and others, it's the University of Santo Tomas. I probably should have told you that. I just don't like dropping names because then names get confusing for people. And then they just, University of Santo Tomas. Starving people. We have 25 days of a diesel supply left. To their credit, the truckers who listen to the show, of which there are many, have been warning me about this for some time, and they've been warning me about the price as well. But hey, look, there's a cost. There's a cost. Look, people don't like to take accountability for things. They do not. They hate taking accountability for things. I've brought this up to you before. I have women in my neighborhood, wives, because we always get together. Wives who I know who've admitted they voted for Joe Biden because they did not like Donald Trump's tweets. Okay. Maybe I should check in on them in 25 days when the grocery store shelves are empty. That's one of the things that bothers me so much about COVID and the COVID response now. This is what you get a ton now. You hear all the time about all these mama bears across the country. They've wrecked our kids. They've wrecked our schools. Little Aiden needs to go back to school. What about Jaden? This is outrageous. Which I love that. That's good. That's good. Be an activist. Show up at your school board meeting. Make yourself heard. What bothers me, though, is they're the same mama bears oftentimes who were hiding Aiden, Jaden, and Braden under the bed and fully supportive of the fact this economy was shut down over a virus, which is, well, insane. Absolutely insane. People don't own things anymore. They don't own it. All right, we're going to get to some emails and then the diamond heist stuff. Jesse, not to out-oracle you, but say ours take full control of Congress, then the absolute bottom falls out of the economy. Forward 2 years and we get blamed for it. Well, I'm glad you actually brought this up at this point in time because I wasn't going to do this till next hour, but this seems to be a perfect time to once again discuss the sky being green. You see, I've had this sky, stupid, I admit, but the stupid sky is green theory that I've said forever, that if the institutions around you decided they wanted you to believe the sky is green and acknowledge the sky being green, they could convince half of you of it. Now, probably not the listeners of this show, but half the population, they could convince of it. And that sounds almost crazy, doesn't it? Because you can see with your eyes that it's not green. You're looking at it. It's blue. If every single media organization told you the sky was green, and then every single Hollywood movie had a green sky, and then they of course, because they own science and doctors now, they had doctors and scientists and experts across the board declaring the sky to be green. It's an optical illusion. You think it's blue. It's actually green. It's green. It's green. It's green. Your children would learn that it was green in grade school and then learn it was green in college. Your politicians would talk about it green. No, it wouldn't work on you. It would just jade you more, but it would work on many, many, many people. Don't believe me? Well, here's an example of how it happens. Let me ask you something. Now, this doesn't apply to you because you already know, but let me ask you this about your neighbor. Your neighbor you love and friends with. Do they believe we're in a recession? I saw this headline today. You want to talk about the sky is green? Whew. U.S. This is from the New York Post. U.S. housing demand has cratered as mortgage rates ensure a recession. They're ensuring a recession is coming. We're in a recession. By the dictionary definition, two straight quarters of economic shrinkage, we are in a recession. It is official, period. Boop. We're not waiting. We're not assuming. That's not something I'm thinking about. Well, I think we might, guys. Quarter one, Q1, Q2 of this year, the economy shrank. That is the definition of a recession. But you remember what happened. As soon as we officially went into a recession, the Biden administration went on what looked like an absurd, like 2 or 3 day rampage where they said, it's not a recession. The recession, the economy, it's not a recession. It's not. They went on this rampage and we were laughing at them. We were all like, of course it's a recession. You guys look stupid. Look how effective it was, though. They're telling you right now the sky is green. How many news organizations out there, go look it up if you don't believe me, are talking about a coming recession, a potential recession. We might have a recession. It's looking like this could be a recession. We're already in a recession. Stop telling me the sky is green. I'm looking at it and it's blue. It's right in front of my eyes. But this is what they do. They will take objective, black and white things, up, down, left, right, things with no middle ground whatsoever, and they will outright lie to your face over and over and over and over and over again. In fact, it's even worse than that, because not only do they lie to your face over and over again, they lie to each other over and over and over and over again. I have an amazing piece of audio for you on that. I'm going to play you here in just a couple minutes. But they lie to each other and they lie to you and it's all lie, 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 lie. And in the end, you're sitting there frustrated because as the entire world swaps lies back and forth and believes lies back and forth, you're sitting there as someone who sees the truth dumbfounded that you sit in the middle of a society that has totally lost its mind. And how many waking hours do you have to spend with friends and family members dragging them back out of the world of make-believe, back into the world that's real. I have to do it all the time, too. I'm right there with you. No, that's actually not true. Let me unpack this for you. Let me unpack that for you, because people can't find the truth today unless you actively seek it out. It's not going to be handed to you. Everything that's handed to you is a lie, and the truth is hidden and must be found. That is a different and difficult place to be as a nation. And I sympathize with you, because mainly I sympathize with myself. I'm tired of having to take my neighbors while we're out barbecuing. Hey, did you hear? We might have a recession. Oh gosh, we're in a recession, Brian. I don't know. Might have it. Where did you hear that, Brian? Did you watch the news last night, Brian? That's not true. Come here. Let me explain exactly why we're already in one. I get through the same thing. Speaking of which, I think I did something rude. I'm going to play you this amazing audio, and I'll explain the rude thing I did and our diamond heist and so much more still to come. Let me tell you what's not a lie. Rape and murder is through the roof in this country. Through the roof. And as the economy continues to spiral downhill and those shelves get emptier and emptier, the violent criminal element in our society will only get more powerful and bigger, because that's what happens in down economies. You want to talk about Manila? Something else that happened at that university is crime became out of control. Thievery. People were terrible. Why? Because they were desperate. Do you carry a hero gun on you at all times? Or a hero arrow? I love them both, but does your daughter, your wife, your mom... Does every family member you love have a hero gun and carry it on them? It's a non-lethal gun. You don't need a concealed carry permit. Anyone can use it. Point and squeeze. Shoots these pepper balls out there, and it will save your life. Hero2020.com. Code Jesse gets you a special discount. Get one for the one you love tonight. Hero2020.com. Code Jesse. State restrictions may apply.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.